Okay, good evening, and if you have your Bibles, let's resume our studies here in the book of Acts, and I'm still working out of the 13th chapter, and last week we ended our studies. I was kind of setting up to go to the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, where we're going to deal with what we are to do as a congregation with I'll put it this way, weaker brethren, brethren that may not be as strong in the faith as other brethren are. And I made it abundantly clear last week that, or I tried to at least, that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, we aren't all at the same knowledge level. Let's put it that way. We're not all at the same level of growth when it comes to learning the things of the Lord. You know, I've made the example that I was saved many years prior to my own father's salvation. But my father has trained me in the ways of the world, raising me. And now I'm training my father in the ways of the Lord and raising him in the things of the Lord. Of course, it's, you know, obviously the work of the Spirit of God, but I'm the vessel by which is doing that, okay? So the roles are where, you know, I'm his pupil and he's my peer. I'm the pupil and he's the peer when it comes to the things of the Lord, because he's more of a child in Christ than I am a bit more elder, okay? And so that doesn't mean that I'm any better than anybody else. I, as a pastor, should know more about the Word of God than the congregation does. Now, it's one of those things where we operate as believers in Jesus Christ, and I know Pastor Andre a few years back preached extensively about this and how we are to operate under a what we call a present tense conviction, okay? We operate according to what we know about the truth of the Word of God right now. There was a point in time in my salvation where, you know, I didn't have quite a grasp on all the things that I have a grasp on now. So when it came to answering difficult questions pertaining to what do I do about this, if this situation arises in my life or that situation arises in my life, I didn't have the answers to back it up. Okay. And so and a lot of it had to do with the fact that I just simply needed to be in the Word of God, hearing the Word of God more, and allowing the Word of God to fill the fuel tank of the Scriptures in my mind and body and my heart, so to speak. Okay, the more you study, the more preaching you hear as the years go by, the more you start thinking and acting in accordance with "Thus saith the Lord," than you do "Thus saith the world." Okay. And so that's the position we want to be in. We want to be, as we always ask in prayer and in service, mature men and women in Christ, okay? Grown up, no longer children, okay? Paul, when he was speaking to the church at Corinth, was telling them that he couldn't speak unto them as, well, let's go over and read it. I believe it's 1 Corinthians. Yep, that sounds like it rings a bell. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says here, and this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church at Corinth, and he's dealing with some spiritual variances that are going on there in the church. In this instance, he's talking about how if you're speaking to someone about the deeper things of the Lord, and they're not grown up enough to understand what you're saying, it's like trying to explain algebra to a kindergartner. You know, you just don't have enough knowledge about the things of the Lord to figure it out, to glom onto it, to make it your own. All right. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, okay, but as unto carnal." Now, when we are walking in the Spirit, what are we doing? Or walking in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, or walking and speaking according to the truth of the Word of God. All right. When you're first saved, when I was first saved, I was more carnal than I was spiritual. Okay? Because I was raised in the world. And the world is contrary to the truth of the Word of God. Okay? And so the world, because remember the Lord said in 1 John chapter 4, "Love not the world, he that loveth the world." Well, I'll read that too. Turn to 1 John chapter 4 and keep your space here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or your spot, I should say. I'll bookmark it. I often quote Scripture when it's better just to lay our eyes upon it. That way we can have it through the ears and through the eyes. Here we go. Okay. Did I get the place wrong? I think I did. Hold on a second here. Oh, where is that? Oh, why can't I find this? All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're not of the Father. For some reason, I'm not remembering where it is. Oh, here it is. It's in the second chapter. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. 1 John chapter 2. Excuse me. I apologize about that. Had a brain anomaly. All right, 1 John chapter 2. He says in verse 15, love not the world. Okay. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And what he's saying is, if your hope is in the world, the way of the world, then you have no hope. Okay. In the world, man always wants to operate according to what he seems right, what seems right to him. What seems right to man is that he can be justified before whatever God he's worshiping by the life that he lives. That's what came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what we see here. So it says in verse 16, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Okay. Now, when we use the word world, we're using it referring to the Greek term cosmos. And that's the order of things, essentially, after the fall. Okay. When Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what Adam did in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is he took of the fruit, he ate of it willingly, and at that moment in time he died spiritually and began to die physically. What was in that tree? Exactly what the devil, in the form of the serpent, told Eve was in that tree. Okay, and we know that when she looked at the tree, she saw that it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree that was a desire to make one what? Wise. Okay, now, where should have been her source of wisdom other than that false tree that was planted in the garden? Well, God himself. Thus saith the Lord, right? Walking according to the truth of the word of God. So this was a counter gospel that was placed into mankind through the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that tells man that he can be like God by his own system of measurement. Okay? That's why she was like, ooh, now I can go teach my husband and we can do it a different way. All right? And the end of that is all the religions of the world. Okay? And so through the religions of the world, we have man trying to make himself right or fit for God's presence again, the same exact way he got booted from God's presence in the Garden of Eden. Now, if that doesn't sound like the definition of stupidity, I don't know what does. Okay? Because without what? Faith. It's impossible to please God. Okay? And so going back over here to 1 Corinthians, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, or newborns. Okay? I know that when I first heard this, the only definition of babes for me was a good-looking girl. So I thought, okay, young ladies in Christ. that's how dumb I was. Babies, children, okay, they don't know much. They need to grow, okay? And so, and I apologize for my broken voice. It's allergies is really getting to me this week. I shoot that Flonase nasal stuff. I don't really know what it's called at all, the medical term for it. It works, but it causes my throat to be sore because it causes post-nasal drip, which is great. So you trade one evil for another one. Okay. He says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk. Okay, so why do we give milk to a baby? It's the only thing he can digest. If you feed him a piece of steak, he's going to choke on it and die. Okay, one time I remember, this was, I just about jumped out of my skin. Noah, I had a little Toyota Tacoma and I had the car seat in the passenger seat. And Noah was sitting in the car seat and I gave him I think he was 2 or something like that. I gave him one of those little like cinnamon candies. Little hard ones, and he was sucking on that. And next thing you know, he's like just kind of looking around, and then he's holding his throat, and oh my God, he's choking on it. So I pulled over right out in the middle of traffic and did the Heimlich on him, and it popped out, and along with the candy, a fountain of vomit went onto my dashboard and down the vent. I had to disassemble the entire dashboard of that truck and try and get, like, I made a contraption to kind of stick down there and pull out as much as I could. It never quite smelled right after that. But that was interesting. But yeah, if you feed a child food that he cannot process, it's going to harm him. Okay, he's not going to be able to take it in. Okay, so as a believer in Jesus Christ that has just trusted Christ as his Savior, how much does he know or she know? Not much at all. Okay, they're more carnal than they are spiritual, or they know more about the world they grew up in than they do about the truth of the Word of God. And so an evidence of that is when our Lord Jesus Christ healed the blind man, and he was being questioned by the rabbis, and they were saying, who did this, you know, and, you know, giving him a genuine inquisition. And he said, I don't know. All I know is that once I was blind, now I can see. And that's all that I knew when I trusted Christ as my Savior at the first as well. I knew that I was a sinner. I thought that I, like I said this morning, I know this is basic stuff, but I thought that I could be justified by the life that I live, and I realized that I'm a sinner undone, and it's impossible for me to do so myself, and that Jesus Christ was my justification through his blood that was shed for me. Okay, and that's all I knew. Like I said, I even thought babes were talking about good-looking younger women. I thought the two wave loaves was like some sort of like, I had no idea. It meant literally waving before. All kinds of things in the scripture. I had no idea what he was talking about. And honestly, over the years, listening to the truth of the Word of God, it's amazing how the Lord puts things together for you. But he makes sure you have knowledge of a certain thing here before you gain the knowledge of a certain thing over here. Okay, so he knows what you're ready for. He puts in the information as you're ready for it so that you get built up in the things of the Lord. And eventually you can understand the weightier things in the scriptures. Okay, and, you know, now I can take just about any portion of the Word of God, and through diligent study, I don't know all of it by any means, by any way, shape, or form. But through diligent study, if I'm going to preach a portion of scripture, I could pretty much pull a spiritual meeting out of it. But it's taken years of building on the truth and growing in the things of the Lord and becoming a more mature man in the scriptures. Okay? And it's not me that's doing it. It's the Spirit of God giving me what I'm ready for so that I can give it to you. Okay? And so he's saying that he couldn't give them the weightier things in the scriptures. They weren't ready for it. So he fed them with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are you yet able. For ye are yet, and the word yet means like still, okay? You're still in this state, okay? For you're yet or still carnal. You're still thinking according to the ways of the world, and not according to thus saith the Lord. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Okay? And, you know, over the years, we've seen evidence of this happen in certain individuals in this very church, you know. Are we at law to one another? Are we responsible for judging one another and say, oh, he did this, and, oh, he did that, and I'm better than him, and I wouldn't do this, and I wouldn't do that, and blah, 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 bickering back and forth at each other? We have been forgiven. We are to be forgiving. And if you think of things through that route, and it's not a matter of if we're going to wrong one another at some point in time, it's a matter of when. And are we going to deal with each other by grace as we've been dealt with by the Lord? Or are we going to go to law with one another? What is the end of that? What is the end of pointing fingers and saying, he did this or she did that, and I certainly, you know, and starting this gossip hysteria in the church or amongst groups of, all it can do is tear us down, spiritually speaking. Okay? And so, you know, Paul's dealing with the same thing here. When you're doing that, are you not walking as men do, the unsaved of the world, and not as believers in Jesus Christ? Okay? Because our sins are under the blood. And I know for a fact that I'm still a sinner. And I know for a fact that I'm going to commit a sin tomorrow, probably more than one. And I know for a fact that sin's under the blood too. And so once we start thinking according to thus saith the Lord, the way we're supposed to live and deal with one another and operate in the truth of the Word of God becomes more clear. And so he says in verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not yet carnal?" Okay. I'm dealing with a little bit of this right now. You know, one might say, "Oh, I like Brother Eric." And one might say, "Oh, I like Pastor Andre." And are we not... When Pastor Andre laid his hands upon me, and we had a... that's what the laying on of hands is, when you literally lay your hands upon somebody. He was relating with me through the truth of the Word of God that we're fellow laborers in the truth of the Word of God. He doesn't have... Both of us are preachers of the Bible. We're both men of God, okay? We're subject to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he may be my over-shepherd, okay, as the head pastor of this church, but we're both pushing the same direction, okay? So if I get up here and give a message of grace about the truth of the Word of God, and he gets up here and gives a message of grace about the truth of the Word of God, what are we doing? We're both pushing the same direction. We're giving the same truth of the Word of God. The delivery might be a little bit different because we're two different people, but it's the same truth, okay? So if you were to make a, like, if we were a larger church, oftentimes larger churches can become factionized, okay? You have enough people to do it. And so they say, "Oh, I like Brother so-and-so," or, "Oh, I like, I'm, you know, we're of this group, we're of that group." What are we in the, what does the Spirit of God do? It binds us all together as one. We are one in Christ. Okay, there's nothing to be gained from a faction here or a faction there or throwing law against a brother here or law against a brother there. All that can do is separate and tear us down. And when you start going down that path, the devil's sitting in the background going, "Ooh boy." He's like, who was that, the fellow that owned the nuclear power plant in The Simpsons? Where he's always like, "Yes." He's tapping his fingers together because he sees a fortuitous situation in front of him, you know. That's what the devil is. The devil is not in the business of getting us to sin as everybody thinks he is. Okay, we do that naturally. We have a natural born sin nature within us because we're children of Adam. The devil's in the business of separating us from the truth of the Word of God because he believes that he is God himself. Okay, and you do so by creating divisions and creating doubt. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how when you have a new believer in Jesus Christ... particularly men of God. When I was first saved, the spiritual workers came out of the woodwork and were knocking on my door every 15 freaking minutes. I had the Christians coming to my door. I had the Jehovah's Witness coming to my door. I had the Mormons coming to my door like four times a week. And every one of them had, "Oh, have you heard about this portion of Scripture? Have you heard about that portion of Scripture?" And I wasn't grown up in the Scriptures enough to give them an answer. And so, you know, honestly, a lot of those times when they said, "Well, we were talking about Christ," and I said, "Well, Jesus Christ is our Savior, but what about this portion of Scripture here in our book?" And I didn't have an answer for them, and it bothered me because I didn't know enough about the Word of God to give them an answer or to reinforce my own faith, okay? So I would go back to church and either directly ask Pastor Andre a question or pray about it, and it would be offered to me in the service without Pastor Andre even having any knowledge that I needed an answer to a particular question. But the Spirit of God knew, okay? And so that's this process of growth that we have to go through as believers in Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, both preachers of the gospel, okay, are you not carnal?" Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Okay, now I've had people tell me that, "Ooh, I like your preaching." And I've had people tell me, "I love Pastor Andre's preaching." Now, when people tell me I love Pastor Andre's preaching and they don't give me an accolade, do I feel bad? Like, "Oh, my preaching's not as good as his," you know. It's all the same word. You know, whether the truth of the Word of God goes forth from my mouth or Pastor Andre's mouth or somebody else's mouth or your mouth when you're witnessing to your friends and family, God be praised. Okay? That's what I rejoice in. I don't care the channel by which it comes. If a soul is saved or led to the Lord, whether it be by my hand or another hand, I don't have a little pistol on my side where I'm notching the grip of my gun with all the souls that I've won. You know, I can't win a single damn soul. The Spirit of God, God Himself wins souls. And so he says, who are these guys? But simply men that you believe by. I have planted, or, you know, broadcasted the seed, the truth of the Word of God. Okay. And Apollos watered. All right. So we have, you know, the Apostle Paul was, yes, he was a pastor, a minister. He was more of an evangelist than he was a hometown teaching pastor. Now, could he do both things? Absolutely. When you're preaching a message of evangelism, you're preaching the Word of God, which is just as profitable to a group of hometown believers as it is to a new nucleus that you've rounded up somewhere else in a different country. Okay, but they had kind of different ministries, all right, in that respect. And so it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but the important part is, who is the one that gave the increase? It's God Himself. Okay, the Apostle Paul, like Pastor Andre said this morning, you can't deliberate someone into the kingdom of heaven by sitting them down and explaining everything to them and saying, okay, do you believe this? Now that you believe this, we got to go to this. And you can, in your mind, may be able to lay out a very concise, precise method by which you're saved and who you are right now. And it could all make sense to you. But if the Spirit of God isn't active, blessing that truth of the Word of God to their heart and mind, you're talking to a brick wall. And last I checked, a brick wall doesn't respond back to me very rapidly. And so, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is it he that planteth, is he that planteth anything. Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So who does the glory belong to? Myself? Pastor Andre? You know, I guarantee you, and I know Pastor Andre doesn't think about numbers. I don't think about numbers, but he's been preaching the Word of God for a hell of a lot longer than I have. So a lot more souls have been saved under his ministry. To be honest with you, I don't know of a single soul, aside from maybe my son, that has been saved under my ministry. Now, there may be some that have that I don't know about, but should I be discouraged about that? No. What did the Lord call me to do? To preach. So he says, go preach. He didn't say preach and convince. The Word of God does the convincing. The Spirit of God does the convincing. Okay? So I just go preach. And I let the spiritual chips fall where they may. Now, I have some ideas of some other people that may have been saved under my ministry. But honestly, I don't even want to think about that stuff. I don't care. I mean, I care they're saved, obviously. But I don't care by which channel they're saved by. Does that make sense? And so, you know, pastors can get discouraged or start making adjustments to their ministries, so to speak, with air quotes, if they don't start seeing results from their preaching. And when we go to start meddling with the way things are delivered or changing the Word of God so it's not so offensive or trying to make everybody happy by veering from the truth of the Word of God to try and get a result from the congregation that may seem on the outward to be more favorable, that's when we get into trouble. Okay, so I wasn't called to finagle or to twist anybody's arm or anything like that or make everybody happy. So I know for a fact if I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God, evidence of that is that I'm not going to make everybody happy. That's what the Word of God does. It divides. It's a two-edged sword. It either cuts to salvation or it cuts to condemnation. And nobody likes feeling condemned. Okay, and so he says in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are how many? One. And every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. Now, I was going to deal with this a little bit over in Romans chapter 14, but I may as well mention it now. We as believers in Jesus Christ are not subject to the great white throne judgment. Okay, when the Lord says that every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is exactly what will happen. But that's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? So man might think that he's his own and that he can live his life to his own avail. But when he passes through the veil of death, whether he's a believer in Jesus Christ or whether he's a sinner undone, He's going to stand before his creator, and he's going to talk to him, okay? And if he is either a Jew or a Gentile that has not trusted Christ as his Savior, he's going to offer God all that he has to offer, which is the very best that he has done in his life, okay? And he's going to confess, because he's going to be there before God, that Jesus Christ exists and that he is Lord and Savior. But the book of works is going to be open, and so is the book of life. And his works are going to be counted. They're going to be found short of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then his name is going to be looked for in the book of life, and it will not be found. Okay? That's what is going to happen to people who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Believers in Jesus Christ are going to go before the Lord as well. But we're going to be sitting before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? It's different than the great white throne judgment. Now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the same inheritance as Jesus Christ has. Now, Jesus Christ was born as a Jew under the law. He gained all of the blessings that was to be gained by adhering to the law in all the books of the Old Testament. Okay? So all the blessings of keeping the law belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Andre mentioned this morning, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ when we trust him as our Savior. And so, as he is an heir, inheriting all the blessings, we also get the same blessing. So all the blessings of the heavenlies are ours as well. Now that is a promise, a guarantee. It's an inheritance, as I always say, that's incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away. It's completely and truthfully reserved for us in heaven, yes. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, what we've done in the body is going to be brought before the Lord in judgment. Okay. Now we're not going to be judged for our sins, because where are our sins? They're under the blood. Okay, they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's not looking at those. Okay? Because we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, what we are going to be judged for is the deeds that we've done in the body. Not moral works, but what we've been called to do through our spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, none of us do those things perfectly. And I'm not saying this in order to make anybody afraid. I remember the first time Pastor Andre preached a message about the judgment seat of Christ. I was like, oh boy, I got to clean things up a little bit here. You know, but you know, if you look at it this way, we can, and I'm going to read it here. When I explain and say things like getting our spiritual head screwed on straight and understanding what we are and who we belong to, that's part of the spiritual growth process. Okay, and it took me quite some time to realize that I don't belong to myself. Okay? I tried real hard to belong to myself, and I wanted to do something different than this. And the reason why was really a stupid reason. I didn't want to be poor. I was afraid of being a pastor because I didn't want to be poor. I wanted money. Okay? One of my sins, and I'm now condemning myself here. God's not condemning me, but I'm condemning myself. I like nice stuff, okay? It's just one of the, you know, I can live without nice stuff, but you know, growing up, I always wanted to be rich. Who doesn't want to be rich growing up? I mean, come on, I guess everybody wants to be rich. That's why every rap song is about money and... Yeah. And the females that go along with it or whatever. Yeah. Isn't it funny how... Oh, I won't even go into Cardi B. Y'all know what I'm going to say probably anyway. we're in a self-righteous world where the most decent thing can be called racist and homophobic or whatever, but yet you have Cardi B doing a sexual act with another woman on stage, and they say that's the song of the year. You know, I hope the coming of the Lord soon. Let's just put it that way. But, you know, it's one of those things where, I was afraid of doing this job, this calling, and it took some growth for me to understand that I don't belong to myself. And, you know, honestly, once I realize that I don't belong to myself, my Lord is going to take care of my spiritual needs and my carnal needs every step of the way, I have been the happiest, most settled, content man that I could possibly imagine myself being. I've been throwing some pretty stupid curveballs in life. And honestly, they haven't really affected my path much, you know, because I've got a Lord and Savior that's keeping himself keeping me and keeping himself with me, as he promised never to leave me nor forsake me. And he's always going to provide for my needs. And so, You know, I have a creator. I was not born of the energy in the sky or whatever else anybody believes. You know, I was created. I don't belong to myself. I have a creator who I belong to. Okay? And he saved my soul. And he called me to preach the word of God. And who am I to deny that? Really, who am I to deny that? How high-minded and stupid would it be for me to try and combat that? But yet, that's what we do in our carnal nature, you know. And so the Lord's got a plan for each and every one of us. And he's going to take care of us by his grace. And we don't belong to ourselves. And when we get that, understand that, and let God be God and trust him as we operate according to the gifts that he's given us to operate in, and put forth the word of God to a lost world, not necessarily as just the man of God, but operating in your spiritual gifts. You're doing the same thing I'm doing. Okay, it requires a church. Okay, there is no greater happiness or blessing that I have found upon the earth than putting forth the truth of the word of God, that souls might be saved and that those souls might be built up in the truth of the word of God. I sleep soundly at night because I know that has been done. Okay, and it brings me great happiness. And you know, everything else is just it's just temporary. Why do you suppose we see so many people that are desperate for power? When they already have so much money, you know, when you get past the money and you can buy anything that you want, what's next? Power, you know, but they can't ever get enough of it. You know, it's like guys like Donald Trump. That guy has, now I thought that he was a pretty darn decent president, but that man is a power monger, okay? The Lord raises up the bases of men to rule. And when you have power, what do you want? More power. I remember there was a line, and I don't know if you ever saw the series, but with Kevin Spacey in it, and before he got convicted of being a child toucher or whatever. I don't know what happened to him. But called House of Cards. And he was telling this attorney that he was kind of raising up to be his protege, who ended up taking a job in a high-profile law firm. And I can't remember the exact line out of the movie, but I'll paraphrase it. And he said, "What the hell are you doing that for? Yeah, you're going to make a lot of money, but didn't you know that power is better than any money in the world?" And of course, he was talking about going into politics, you know. And so we see politicians flexing their power muscles, and really, it's a God complex. You know, imagine being a governor and be able to write a decree on a piece of paper, and suddenly millions of people are wearing the masks that you told them to wear, you know. You don't suppose Kate Brown gets a little raised hackle on her neck, you know, a nice thrill up her leg by doing that? You know, power corrupts, you know, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I can't remember who quoted that, but that's absolutely true, you know. And so, but I don't belong to myself. You don't belong to yourself. We belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And if he says, "Go do this for me," who am I to deny it? You know, who are you to deny it? And so, if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be dead in your sins and be on your way to hell. But he saved you and gave himself for you. And so, he says here in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid," which is who? Jesus Christ. Okay? Why do you suppose that every single concept in our, you know, Emily and I were talking about this before the service a little bit. Other pastors will go through things in the scriptures, such as the one we were talking about, David and Goliath. You know, David defeated Goliath by faith. Okay, but if you don't bring that situation of David and Goliath back into a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ by faith, then it means nothing. The foundation of Jesus Christ is throughout every single story in the Bible, and that's the foundation for our salvation. Okay? And so that's the only foundation to build upon, because we don't have any foundation of our own. We don't have the ability to justify ourselves. And so he says in verse 11, "For no other foundation, can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones," okay, and I'm going to explain this, in the typology of Scripture, gold speaks of the Father, silver speaks of the Son, okay, and precious stones speak of the Spirit of God. We had the Urim and the Thummim, you know, and the various jewels that the high priest wore in the nation of Israel. They spoke of the Spirit of God, okay? So we're building a foundation of that which is, and we'll look at it here, refined by fire, or that which is of God, okay? And then the other thing that we have that can be built with, the other materials mentioned here, is wood, hay, and stubble. Now, this morning we looked at the third chapter of Galatians where Paul equated being in the flesh as operating according to the law. Now, if we operate according to the law, can any soul be saved by trying to put them under law? Nope, they can only be condemned. The scripture repeats that over and over again. So if we build a foundation upon keeping the law for salvation, or keeping the law to keeping in order to keep ourselves saved, or to provide some kind of justification for ourselves as a Christian, then we're building a foundation that can only be burned and destroyed with fire when it's under pressure. And we'll look at that here. For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Okay? So when man stands before the great white throne judgment and his works are held up to the work of Jesus Christ, he's going to be found short. Okay? If he isn't in Christ himself, if his sins aren't under the blood. And so he says, for every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And I remember our Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't remember where right now, but I'll paraphrase it. He said to his disciples that the Lord shall thoroughly cleanse his threshing floors. Okay? Speaking of a wheat harvest. And so when he harvests the wheat, or his true believers in Jesus Christ, all the chaff that remains, which speaks of all the false doctrine in the world, is going to be burnt up. Okay? And so is this creation. This creation that has fallen into sin is one day going to be burnt up. And a new creation will be revealed, wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Okay? For if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, remember, on that foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones, or the things that involve salvation in Jesus Christ, he shall receive a reward, all right? Or it means fitting compensation. And, you know, I think it's going to be something like this. If we are operating in a church and building it in a manner that we're trying to create a good congregation that the public is going to look at and say, oh, look at those good Christians over at Grace Baptist Church. I want to be just like them, you know, which is always nonsensical. What's going to happen when we stand before that Lord? That entire work is going to be burnt up because it's not based upon the person or work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to suffer loss. Now, a believer can get involved in these things and be misguided and think that he's going to have this great reward when all he was doing was building of wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? But if we build always upon the foundation of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're building on a foundation that cannot be moved, that cannot be destroyed. Okay? And so it says here, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, because obviously if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have the same inheritance that Jesus Christ has. It's reserved in heaven for us, and we're kept by the power of God. So we can't lose our salvation. That's not what he's talking about here. But I think that we can get there and suffer some discouragement in that we thought that we were serving the Lord this whole time, but we were really serving the flesh. Okay? And of course, that's, you know, the Lord's going to, when we go into his presence, he's going to wipe away our tears. He's going to wipe away our sadness. And we're going to be clothed upon with the righteousness of God at that moment in time. So all these things that we've experienced in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ that were failures are going to be wiped away and forgotten. All right? But the man, or to put it politically correct, why do I always feel like I need to say woman too? We're mankind. We all came from a man, okay? We all came from Adam, all right? So men in the world, speaking of men and women, that have operated according to the truth of the Word of God are going to be rewarded for that which they've done in their time upon the earth. And I think it's going to be something like this. I know who my Lord Jesus Christ is, okay? I know who I serve. I know the foundation that I'm supposed to build upon. And I'm doing the best that I can in this carnal body to do so. And in the process of growing in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm learning more about my Lord. Like I always say, when we grow, we learn more about ourselves and about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the more we know, the more we kind of love and adore and appreciate it. Okay? So when we're finally passing through that veil of death, it's like my Aunt Debbie didn't have a whole lot of joy in her life upon this earth. I would go so far as to say she lived a miserable life. Okay. But when I was speaking with her on her deathbed, the few words that she could say is, you know, I was asking her, well, are you ready? And she's like, huh, been ready for years. She laughed about it. You know, she was so ready. And I think that joy that she did experience when she passed through the veil of death, when you're a well-taught believer, and she was, okay, we say that she was, you know, people might look at her and say that she was a failure. But she wasn't a failure, you know. She was grounded in the truth of the Word of God and knew exactly who her Lord and Savior was and knew exactly where she was going when she was going to pass through that veil of death within days of me talking to her on that hospital bed, you know. And so the appreciation she probably experienced when she finally was able to bring to light and to eye that hope that she had when she was upon this earth is probably nothing that could be compared. And I think that's going to be the reward one individual will have in comparison with another, you know. And so, because, you know, God isn't looking at us in a meritorious sense because he's not a respecter of persons. But if we built the foundation upon the things of the gospel pertaining to Jesus Christ, gold, silver, and precious stones, then we're looking forward to actually experiencing that which we've been preaching and working in our entire lives, and it's going to be this joyous release, okay? And I think that's going to be somewhat what it's like. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to be like. I haven't been there yet. But I think that's what we're talking about here. And so he says in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, you know, but the Lord has promised to make his abode with us. Okay? If any man defile the temple of God, and I've heard stupid preachers talking about how, oh, if you have let sins come into your life, you defile the temple of God. Well, if that's the case, then I'm defiling the temple of God every day. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. That's why I need it every day. All right? That's not what we're talking about here. When we defile the temple of God, we're letting that which is spiritually false into our lives and operating in that and not according to the truth of the Word of God. Okay? And so, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy or separate, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you that seemeth to be wise in this world, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. What is the wisdom of this world? Well, the wisdom of this world came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did that come from God or from the anti-God? So if it came from the anti-God, the wisdom of this world is anti-God or anti-the truth. It's contrary to it. All right? So the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So when we preach the Word of God, that's why the world thinks that we're stupid. Because we're not thinking according to the foolishness that they gained from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I one day, prior to my salvation, thought according to also. Okay? And so it says here, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, or he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are what? Vain. What does this mean in the Greek? It means futile. Powerless. They do nothing. Because a man cannot be justified by the works of his own flesh. If he tries to justify himself by the works of his own flesh, he's going to stand before the great white throne judgment and be cast into hell. So basically in the Greek it would read this, that the Lord knoweth the reasonings of the wise. The wise of the world always has some sort of reason why they say that the Word of God is not true. Okay. And why does it always have to be this chuckling, you believe that crap, you know? Well, one day they're going to stand before God and they're going to declare that he exists and that he is Lord and Savior, but it's going to be too late. And those words are going to be ringing in their heads. And I think one of the sufferings, Pastor Andre hit on this the other day, I think one of the sufferings of hell is going to be somewhat like it was when you had the beggar Lazarus and the rich man that died, and they're in between paradise and Sheol, or the two different compartments of the grave. Sheol is really the whole thing, but paradise and what represented hell, okay? Lazarus was being comforted. Now, he was like my aunt. He had no joy in life, but he had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior through the Jewish sacrificial system. Okay? looking forward to the one-day sacrifice for his sins, looking forward to the Messiah. And he was comforted in Abraham's bosom. Okay? And so when the rich man viewed Lazarus, Lazarus couldn't see the rich man. So he couldn't see the torments of hell. But the rich man could see Lazarus being comforted while he was in eternal torment. Now, I know the Lord's not a in Scripture we see the vengeance of the Lord, but I know that the Lord is not trying to deliberately make anybody suffer. But he can't be in the presence of that which is contrary to himself, and all that's left is the mess of sin. So he created a place for that. And that's where everyone that isn't in Christ has to reside for the ceaseless days of eternity, because once a soul is created, it cannot be uncreated. It exists for all eternity. And so I think that's going to be one of the sufferings of hell. It would make sense. And so he says here, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh or catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain or futile. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Who do we glory in? We glory in the Lord. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Paul, Apollos, Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or all things present, or all things to come, they're all yours. You have it all in Christ. There's nothing more to be gained. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Okay? The thing that we have in salvation, it's a perfect circle. Okay? It's complete. There's nothing to add to. There's nothing to gain. We have it all in Christ, and we have it all by a simple look of faith. And we're out of time. I didn't set my timer. And I didn't mean at all to preach that message. But there you go. Next week, okay, so next week I'm going to give you a hint of what we're going to look at. I do want to go into the 14th chapter of Romans and look at some reasonings as to why John Mark had such a problem with what took place on the island of Paphos when the sorcerer was blinded. And you got to remember, when you see depictions of what happened, it's like you see a blind man that's like, oh, my eyes, oh. This was quite a raucous scene. Okay, you have this man that's in anger against the truth of the Word of God. Paul casts him. What would happen to you if somebody said suddenly you're blind and you went instantly lost your sight? You'd be going nuts. And it was just too much for John Mark. Okay, and we'll look at that next week. It doesn't mean that John Mark had a problem. It just means that he didn't have enough growth yet to see what was happening and trust the Lord with it. Okay, and we're going to look at that next week in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Will help us kind of see what was going on. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace, for the truth of the Word of God, how we see this foundation of Christ and the redemptive work of Christ throughout all the Scripture, and that you can't preach something out of any place in the Word of God without taking note of it, because that is the means by which we have salvation and acceptance in your sight. We thank you and praise you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.